So we know Jesus is here today, and he's here to watch over and perform his word. He's always here to perform and watch over his word. So when we took to Matthew 18, 19, and we prayed and asked the Lord to deliver her, set her free from the top of her head to the bottom of her feet after she got her sin repented of, I told her, I said, now then, you've repented of the sin. We found a scripture that'll work, and now we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Now see, if you don't do all of them, you pray a prayer and say, well, Sharon, I hope God's going to be merciful to you today. She could have still been sick today. You know that? But I told her, I said, you know, I'm going to pray the prayer of faith for you. I'm going to guarantee you in the name of Jesus, if you believe all this, he's going to heal you. And he did. 6 years ago. And so, of course, when she came out of my office or out of an office the other day to see me there and was fussing about this guy that couldn't get it, I told her, I said, Sharon, when these people get off the phone with you, they need to feel like they've had a personal meeting with Jesus. Okay, Pastor, I can do it. We all have to be reminded once in a while, even me, you know that? It's real easy to get out of sorts with people that are having problems. And do you know how many people in the world that have problems? You know how many people have problems? How many? Oh, there's a girl with the right answer. There's the right answer. All of us have problems at one time or the other. If you think you've got to a place where you don't have no problems no more, I need to learn what you've learned. Because I haven't got there yet. I still have problems once in a while with something or somebody. Or whatever. Or myself. And usually that's the biggest critter. Myself. So anyway, praise the Lord. Now then, we saw there that, in fact, the Lord is under this new covenant. If we know that Jesus was made to be sin for us, the object of his sin bearing was that we might be free from sin, and the object of his sickness bearing that we might be free from sickness. And that's usually why people come to the healing school. They want to be free of sickness. And I will have to say, praise God, we have had very good results over the years of seeing many people healed in this little ministry. We don't get them all healed, but I'd love to see the day come when I do, in the name of Jesus, get them all healed. I would love it. And I believe that day is going to happen. I believe God is judging the world right now. I believe he's judging America right now. I believe he's judging his church right now. And I believe those that want to walk holy in obedience to his word and obey him, I believe all of those, if they have a sickness, that as we pray for them and they stand by faith, I believe they're going to get well. Because sometimes it looks awful whenever you see somebody that's so sick, so afflicted, so down, that they just, you know, they're so bad, and we look at the symptoms instead of the Word of God. And we sometimes look at ourselves and say, that's not possible. That can't happen. Well, yeah, it can happen. With God, when I took Caitlin that day down at Cook's Medical Center, when I walked in and looked at my granddaughter at 3 years of age, and I couldn't even recognize who she was. Her face was twice its size, and every one of those three doctors that I got their reports said, it's absolutely, she is lethal. It's absolutely impossible for this little girl to live. What do most people believe at that point? The doctors. We just say, well, that's the way it is. And some of my friends even said, well, Thurman, well, just go ahead and let her die and bury her in the coffin with her mother. Wouldn't that be wonderful just to bury her with her mother? I said, no. I don't want that little girl buried with her mother. I want that little girl to run and play. And today she is running and playing. In fact, she had a beagle dog that she was quite fond of. But we're sorry that she had the beagle because his job is to howl, and he howls good at night. And so he keeps everybody up. You know, he howls. Well, the other day, her new mama, of course, she's living with my son and his wife, so she calls her mother now. But the other day, Maraca, she were taking the kids all somewhere, and she went down here around the corner when she did little Shiloh. The beagle ran under the front wheel, and Maraca ran over him with front and back wheel. She killed him dead. Well, it didn't do near as much damage to Caitlin as it did to Maraca. Maraca liked to broke her heart. She was just hysterical because she ran over the dog. But Caitlin wasn't all that concerned. It didn't seem to bother her that much. But anyway, she said, "Can I have another one?" And so they got her a little puppy. And the other day she come over here with that little thing all rolled up in her jacket and everything, a little bitty white and brown one, you know, just a little bitty handful. So she's got another one. But praise God, it's not a beagle. You know, it's at least so far it hadn't barked or nothing. And it's, if it don't ever get any louder than it is right now, we're all going to be happy. Praise God. Oh, she's got great plans. And if you don't think she's all woman at 12 years of age, she's fixing to be 12. She come running the other day and said, "Grandma, I want you to take me to town. I need a little stuffed dog." And Grandma said, "Well, Caitlin, honey, Grandma don't have no money." She said, "Well, run get Granddaddy. He's got plenty of money. He'll buy me one." Sound like a normal girl? Yeah, especially a little granddaughter, right? They know granddaddies will do whatever for them anytime, especially when you got an attachment to them like I got to her. Because if you'd have been there with me that day, there was nobody stood with me, nobody except me and Jesus. When everybody said, "It's over, it's over." I said, "No, it ain't never over till Jesus says it's over." I said, "I have a new covenant with the King." And in Jeremiah 31, I want to read a little about this thing, this new spirit, Jeremiah 31, 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." He's going to make a new covenant. Well, when I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, I became a member of the Abrahamic covenant. And so everything that belongs to the Jew belongs to me because I'm a son of God. I'm walking with Jesus. We get a new spirit when we're born again. Ezekiel chapter 11, 19. In Ezekiel 11, 19. "I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh." That's what we get. And I guess that's, Dave's put that on the screen. Yeah, Ezekiel 11, 19. Now then, let's go to 2 Corinthians 5, 17. And let's see what happens there once we become born-again Christians under this new covenant. We forget who we are. I think this is one of the major issues of why so many people don't get healed today is because we forget who we are as Christians. We don't act like Christians. We act like heathens, don't we? Yes, we do. All of us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ..." Now, does that include you and me? That's me and you. "If any man or woman be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." That's the way it's supposed to be. Now, if we could just stay there and stay dead, what a wonderful person we could be, huh? Yeah, if we could only get there and stay there. "It is God's will to heal you, because sickness, as we've read the stories a while ago, when Jesus went about casting out these devils, if people had sinned, who did they give place to? A devil. So when you round this thing up, who's in total charge of everything? God. Who made Satan? God. Who gives Satan orders? God. He's running the show, isn't he? So he made this beast and he made a law. Now, this is the way I see this in the physical world. If you happen to be a police officer, don't take this as an offense. But in the physical world, we got a legislative body down in Austin that makes rules, right? They make laws. Then that legislative body that makes those rules, after they make the rules, say, "Okay, on the highways, on this one out here, you can drive 65 miles an hour. Now, somebody figured that out. You know, you get a little further up the road, you can drive 70. You get a little further down here, you can drive 55. But somebody figured out the best way they thought for most of us, and so they make a set of rules. Okay, this is the law. So then they take and they hire an executive department, and they hire a police chief. Now, this is the devil. They hire the police chief, and he's Satan, and they say, "Police chief, these are the rules. Here they are. Read them and enforce them." Is that what they do? So the police chief, he reads this and says, oh my gosh, they expect me to control all these people. I need a force of police officers out here in police cars. So now we've got to have taxes to buy all these police cars and hire all these guys. Is that the way it works? That's the way it works. And so we put police officers all over the place and with their radars and everything else. And they're out there. I was going down to DFW and it was cold that day. And there was two motorcycle policemen sitting out there. And one of them was leaning on the handlebars with that gun shooting right down that road. He's pointing it at each individual car. And as long as we were not driving past the speed limit, they just sat there. We kept on going. Now, the demons are just like those police officers. If you're not breaking the law, what can they do to you? But what if you're driving 75 out there where it says 65? Oh, he's coming after you. He now has legal claim to you. Does he not? Now, do you see the relationship here? Who is God in this situation? The legislative department. Who hired the executive department? The legislative department. Is that true? They make the rules and then the executive department enforces the rules. Now then, who makes the law? God. Was he the one that gave the law? And is he the one that puts the force into existence to enforce the law? Yeah, he puts Satan out there, doesn't he? And he gives him a job. And he says, now then, you know, when people sin, you have legal right to do things to them. Now then, let's take this group of people now that came on the scene, and how many of those people under the law do you think broke the law? How many of them? All of them. So they all broke the law, so they had doors open, so demons came into them, didn't they? Now then, when Jesus came, and the men and women were baptized for the remission of their sins, and he was going to die on the cross for your sins, he was going to disarm Satan and his powers by being nailed to that cross. So now then, when he was nailed on the cross, he took away Satan's legal claim to continue to torment you because of sin. So whatever sin you had in you, when you come to Jesus, it broke every power of the devil in your life.
We're going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast titled, This Book Is Alive, in its entirety or any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.